everyone, it's Lacey Scholes from VH1's Rock of Love, and this is Talk of Love, the new podcast. This isn't just reality, this is real life. Hey everyone, it's Lacey motherfucking Scholes, and this is the Talk of Love podcast. And believe it or not, this is episode 40, the big 4-0. I gotta say, I appreciate you guys so much, everybody who has been tuning into this podcast every week. And of course, all of the contributors who've been contributing every month to the podcast. Really, you guys, you all are the ones who have made this podcast happen. And I just cannot thank you enough. I'm so excited that we have been on for 40 episodes at once a week and still going strong. I'm having such a great time with this podcast. So I just want to say thank you to you guys for your likes and for your views and for subscribing. And I just appreciate you guys so much. And speaking of subscribing, if you guys are new to the podcast, if this is your first time watching, make sure to smash that subscribe button if you want to show your support to the podcast. And another interesting thing about this podcast today specifically is that, so my podcasts, I usually film them a few days to a week before you guys actually see them. So I upload them every Monday morning, but that's not actually when I film, obviously. So today, my today, not your today, but my today is actually the day before Election Day. So that's kind of a trip because by the time that you guys see this, it will be the Monday after election. So you guys know who the winner of the election is and you guys know everything that has happened. I still don't. This is like some crazy, trippy Talk of Love meets Back to the Future thing going on. So yeah, elections are tomorrow. I have no idea what's going to happen. I voted. I know who I voted for. And I can't even begin to predict what the results are going to be tomorrow. So I'm a little anxious about it and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that things are smooth afterwards. I'm almost afraid to say anything, but hopefully everything is cool and everybody handles the craziness somewhat okay. And, you know, so I was thinking like, well, what is some food for thought for you? Like, what am I going to talk about having to do with that since the election hasn't happened for me yet? It happens tomorrow. The only thing I can say is when things are they're most difficult, when things are the most challenging, that is the time of which you have to really dig deep and lead with compassion. It's always the times where you feel like compassion is not the place that you want to go to, the most difficult times. That's when you got to go there first. So depending on who wins, who loses, there's going to be a lot of upset people. Either Trump is going to win and there's going to be a lot of upset Biden people, or Biden's going to win and there's going to be a lot of upset Trump people. So the only thing I can say to you guys in the future who are watching this is lead with compassion. You know, the anger and the hatred directed at each other, if we are directing that at our other fellow citizens, our fellow Americans, that doesn't do anything. The best thing that we can do is channel that anger, channel that aggressiveness that we feel, channel that into a place that actually can do some good, which is reach out to your officials, reach out to your elected officials, your city, state, local government, reach out to the White House, and you can find email addresses for them. You can find phone numbers for them. You can reach out to them, let your voice be heard. And I will say, please don't plot to kidnap your state governor though. That's kind of frowned upon. So no kidnapping, just emails and phone calls. But yeah, don't direct it at each other. You know, I sometimes go online and I see people and they're just like angrily typing away and you know, having political arguments, and it always gets so nasty and unnecessarily so. And it's like, you know, libtard, republicant, you know, and literally never in the history of ever has an argument been resolved with libtard or republicant. Nobody's ever been on the receiving end of that and be like, oh, suddenly I completely see your point of view. So that just doesn't do anything. Channeling that anger at each other, directing at each other, it's misguided. You're not going to change anybody's mind. You're not going to change anyone's perspective. Most likely, if you disagree with them, they probably got their information from a place where they think they are in the right, because maybe the information that they got is different from the information that you got. So like, really, you got to lead with compassion. Don't send that hatred to your fellow Americans. Get online, find the contact information and email address for your elected officials and send it towards them. So tell them your thoughts, keep it peaceful though. So that's all I have to say. Okay. So next, I actually want to apologize to you guys. I know I keep promising I'm going to bring Brooke, aka Pumpkin, on. And unfortunately, she has a sick family member. So she's been dealing with that. I've just been giving her a little bit of time to get everything okay in her life before I bring her on. But also, if you want to know information about Talk of Love future guests, if you go to the YouTube channel, Talk of Love, and there's little tabs at the top. And if you click on community, that's where you can have conversations with me, have conversations with other viewers of the podcast, and you can learn about who's going to be coming on as my future guests. And that's a good place to go for that kind of information. So anyway, with that all said, I am really excited about my next guest because this is a person who I am actually real life friends with. I love this guy. He was on Megan Wants a Millionaire. So he's got a lot of good insight about that show, which we only saw 3 episodes of. And he was also on my season of I Love Money 3. Please welcome Joe. Hey, Joe, it's so nice to see you. How are you?
I'm good, Lace. It feels like maybe only a couple months ago that we saw each other, but it's been what, like 10 years?
It's been a long time. And you know, one thing that a lot of people don't know is that you and I, and also Lil Hood from For the Love of Ray J, actually became pretty good friends on I Love Money 3. And we all stayed in touch and had so many like hangout, drunken, crazy nights back in Los Angeles. But yeah, it's been such a long time. And I'm so happy to see you.
I'm so happy to see you too. And I was actually just thinking about those same times. I remember your Heaven and Hell Halloween party that was probably exactly 10 years ago from this Halloween.
Oh, yeah,
that was
you're right.
Fucking amazing.
Yes, that's right. God, we had a lot of fun times back then.
We did because I was living with Kelsey at that time and then she moved in with you shortly after.
Yeah, that's right. So I remember that because you had moved to Los Angeles from Chicago, right?
Yes. And then my parents were like, what are you doing out there? You're a fuck up. All I see are like, Crest Nightclub and the Rainbow Bar on your credit card. Get the fuck home after you're full. So I did.
That's amazing. And then, yeah. And then you were living with Chelsea, Lil Hood, Chelsea, as we know her. And then, yeah, yes. She moved in with me. She was my roommate for a little bit, obviously before I was married. And yeah, she was a really fun roommate too. So,
oh my gosh, she's amazing. I still talk to her like every single day. We're still best friends after all these years.
I love hearing that.
I
love it.
Though, but I wish she was here with us. That would have been so much fun.
I know. So we'll get her on soon enough. So we have so much to talk about because obviously you were on Megan Wants a Millionaire and I have not had anybody aside from Megan from that show on this podcast yet. So I can't wait to get into that. And also where you and I met, I Love Money season 3, the season that didn't air. I can't wait to get into all that.
That they can see.
What's that?
I said the mystery season that everybody wishes that they could see. I mean, myself too. I'd love to see what the hell you wrote.
Yeah, myself included. Absolutely. So let's get into Megan Wants a Millionaire because obviously that was the show that you filmed first and then you filmed I Love Money 3 after that. So how did you find out that this show was looking for people as the cast? How did you audition for it? Where were you? And did you know who Megan was?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so it's actually a really, really funny story, and I think it's going to clarify things for a lot of people from 10 years ago. So I was living in Chicago at the time, and me and a few of my best friends, we watched like Rock of Love, so obviously we were watching You Lace, we watched I Love New York, Flavor Flav, so we watched all of those, and then it was literally on Craigslist. If you remember Craigslist all the way back then, it was before it was all prostitutes and blowjobs and things like that. They actually had legitimate advertisements. So my one friend was like, dude, I think they're casting for like a dating show for VH1 for Megan because the headline of it was Trophy Wife. So all of us, I think there were 4 of us, 4 of my friends, we all applied to be on it. And I mean, okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to put it out there right now at the beginning so there's no questions. I was the gay one. I was the gay one out of all of my friends. I hung out with all straight dudes in Chicago. You know, they're in Heating and Air. And I was the reason that they watched those shows and they fell in love with them. So we all applied. I was the only one that got a call back and I was like, okay, this is going to be great. So they were holding, I mean, after the phone interviews, because you know how it goes, you talk to the casting people first before you actually talk to the production company. So the casting agents reached out to me. We chatted. They were like, oh my God, you're great. We love you over the phone. Please come and do like a on-camera interview downtown Chicago. I don't know, whatever date, like a week or two later. So I do. I go out there and I'm like, all right, I should probably just let them know, like, all the deets. So I go there, and they're obviously running behind because it's Hollywood and everything takes years to get done. So I'm sitting there, and I'm having a few drinks at the bar. you know, and nice. Per usual. So a few more and a few more. I go up there. I'm bombed by the time I go talk to the casting lady. So I go up there and we just roll. You know what I mean? We're having the best time ever. I'm like, but I'm gay. And she's like, it's okay. She's like, it's going to be fun. She's like, she did ask me though. She's like, you know, if you do make it on the show, she's like, that will probably be a topic of conversation. How will you handle it? I'm just like, I don't care. It'll be a good time. Woo! And not thinking that they're even going to pick me. You know what I mean? 3 weeks later, after that whole shit show of interview, I thought I totally bombed it. Gay as hell. Drunk as hell. I get a phone call. Hey, you're in the final 50 or whatever, so we're going to be flying you out to LA. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. This is awesome. So I tell my friends. They think it's the greatest thing ever. Tell my parents. Not so happy about it.
Oh,
as
really?
You could imagine. They did not want me to do that show.
Why were they? How come they were like not on board?
Because they already knew the premise of it, because I kind of let them know like what the advertisement was, who Megan was. My dad actually watched Rock of Love, so he did know who Megan was. And they knew that doing a reality TV show, trying to date a girl, why would I go do that? Put myself out there to basically look like a fool. I was 22 years old. I wanted to be on TV. I didn't give a shit.
But you're just like, you just wanted to do it for fun, essentially.
I just wanted to have a good time. Yeah. And I really honestly didn't even think that I was going to make it on the show. I
love
really
that
did.
You were just like brutally honest. As far as you know, is there anybody else on any of these shows that went on as a straight person when they were actually gay?
I do, actually. I do.
We can't say unless they've outed themselves, but I'm just wondering.
And I won't. I will absolutely never out anybody like that. That would be horrible. So right. I will say, yes, that is.
There is another person.
A very rare occurrence, but on Megan Wants a Millionaire, there was one. And I'm pretty sure on I Love Money, we had one also.
That is so funny. I love it, though. Mm-hmm. I love it so much. So let me ask you this. Were you guys all actually millionaires?
That's the funny part. Yes, actually, during the casting process, once it got turned over to 51 Minds, which was the production company, they had to do the very thorough background checks. And to be honest, you know, it would be great for a TV show to say, oh, all these millionaires are coming on here and really have them not be millionaires. And they've done that before. With this show in particular, they did need to verify your funds. Because unlike the other shows, we actually had to buy her things. And when we went out on those dates, we could upgrade the dates. And I mean, we spent a lot of money on that show. So if you didn't have the funds to back you up, yes, it would make for great TV and you'd look like an asshole. But they really couldn't have that because they needed to go through with the dates, have you pay for them.
Interesting. Okay. Okay. So how did you have your money that early in your life? Because I know they labeled you as a trust fund baby. Is that correct?
Yes, I was the trust fund baby. And the way that actually happened, that was another reason why my parents were like, fuck this, you're not doing that goddamn show, because I wasn't in control of my trust fund. To be honest, I'm only 34 years old. I'm not in full control of my trust until I'm 35. So next year. But at that point, and that is years down the line. So they weren't comfortable because they needed to give specifics about like banking information, not only on my end, but some of their end, which they were really not willing to do, but I don't know, you know, magic of producers got him to do something. So it all worked out at the end of the day. I will say this, though. When the show aired, it said that I was worth $10 million. I can tell you that is absolutely completely exaggerated. Uh-huh. I don't think that my trust fund is really more than one, maybe two max. And I highly doubt the two. It's probably one.
They just hit the zero accidentally too many times.
Maybe they hit an accidental zero or something. I don't know what the fuck happened.
That's so crazy. So what did you think of Megan going into the show? Like, what was your opinion on her? Because I was friends with her on Charm School and I really loved Megan and had so much fun with her. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to be on the receiving end of Megan's shit list. So were you intimidated going in? And also, like, did you know Brandi C was going to go there or was going to be there? What were your thoughts on all of that?
So I didn't know that Cecile or Brandi were going to be there, actually. I had no idea. And of course, with Megan, it was just kind of like, I was dumbfounded that I even made the show in the first place. So, I mean, as soon as you get picked for that after the STD meetings and you wake up that day and they're like, okay, get in the van, you know, and you're moving into the house. It's like, Megan's going to be there. All right. And I was just thinking, I put myself in my brain. I'm like, okay, the minute I open my mouth, she's going to know that I'm gay. And it's like, which could be an advantage, to be honest with you, because I'm sure production already kind of filled her in. And they know that that's going to start some trouble, which it obviously did on the first night. So, I mean, I knew that either I would go in there and on the first night just look like a complete asshole and get sent home because obviously I didn't want to date a girl. Or they'd keep me around a little bit because the guys were going to pick on me. And that's kind of what happened.
Wow, that's so crazy. And so you made it three episodes?
I was in three episodes. So the way that it worked with Megan's show actually was the first night, three guys got sent home. And then every episode after that, two guys got sent home. So it wasn't after the first episode, only one goes home. It was a consistent two and two and two.
Oh, okay. And so what was your reason for being sent home?
Okay, so that's kind of a funny story. I think I was actually supposed to last maybe another episode or two because you get little hints as to what they're doing, you know? Early on, they kind of probe you for things. So there was a point where they needed my measurements to do like a tuxedo thing. Mm-hmm. And I knew that was going to be later on. I knew what that was for. That was for a challenge down the line. So I did get measured and everything. They probably expected me to do that. But you know how it is, Lace. When you're in those houses, I believe you've said it yourself. It's like every single day feels like a month.
Yeah.
And to be honest, with Megan Wants a Millionaire, I don't want to say it wasn't fun, because it was definitely fun, but it wasn't like Rock of Love. It wasn't like Flavor of Love. Like, you guys were party animals. This is a house. I was the youngest one. I was 22. Everybody else was like 40, 50, even 60.
Wow.
They were legitimate millionaires who really did care a lot about how they were perceived. So I'm like, want to go have a drink? Let's go to the bar. They're like, no. Or I'd smoke a cigarette and they'd all clear away. On top of, like, they knew that I was gay. So they just messed with me half the time, you know, and it was all for fun. I really didn't care.
Did
it was a good time.
Specifically about being gay?
They did. Okay, so they didn't really portray it on the show as extreme as it was. They gave little, like, hints, I guess you could say. They gave little hints as to what it was, and, like, they threw the jabs here and there, and you saw that. But to be honest, it was like the first night was really, dude, you're gay. You're gay. Why are you here? You're clearly gay. But at that time, too, it was kind of a mind fuck for me because I'm hammered. I'm on camera. I have the microphone on. I don't want to be like, yeah, you guys are right. I'm only here because it's a joke. You know how that would end. That would be absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, dig your own grave right there. So, no, I have my own dick to play with. What are you talking about, crazy? Like, I don't know, just some stupid shit. I was fucked up. They broke my piggy bank. It was hilarious. And the next day, to be honest, a couple of them apologized. And were like, dude, you know that was like all set up, right? They told us to do that. I'm like, I'm sure they did, but.
That's so crazy. So, okay, obviously, Ryan was on yours and my season of I Love Money 3, which we're going to get into that in a minute. But let's just keep it about Ryan. And in case you guys are wondering who are watching this, Ryan is the one who I think he came in second place of Megan Wants a Millionaire. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe second or third place. He was in the top three, that's for sure.
Right. And he was the winner of I Love Money season 3. And he is the one that murdered his wife and made it so that everything completely fell apart. So a lot of people want to know what it was like being, you know, in the house with Ryan. Obviously, I know what it's like to be in the house with Ryan on I Love Money 3. But let's talk about what was he like with you, because he was sort of, I imagine by the time you got to I Love Money 3, he'd already done the whole season of Megan Wants a Millionaire. So he was kind of like seasoned at that point. But by the time you met him on Megan Wants a Millionaire, he was new to this whole world. So I would imagine, was his behavior a little bit different?
So different. And to be honest, I'm going to go ahead and take a sip of this before I answer that question.
It's
a good question. And it was very different, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That's my favorite beer, by the way. Wish I was drinking a beer with you right now. I got to drive home. But yeah, Michelob Ultra.
I know. Well, cheers, Lace. Cheers to you.
Cheers to
your amazing show.
Yeah.
I will say that Ryan on Megan Wants a Millionaire, funny enough, was probably one of the only guys in that house that were really nice to me. He was super cool to me. He would hang out with me. We played pool. We chilled in the backyard because he actually, I don't know how it was on I Love Money after I left, but he didn't drink alcohol when we were filming Megan Wants a Millionaire. He did not drink.
Huh. Oh, that's interesting. Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He told me straight up he didn't drink. And he wouldn't drink in the house. And I was the one that was drinking. We would play pool. But again, he was super cool to me. Now, on the first day that we moved into the house, one thing that I remember about him, because I did spend a good portion of my time meeting everybody and hanging out with Ryan that first night, he was very obsessed with the cameras, actually. He kept wondering, like, why are the cameras not on me? Why are the cameras not on me? And I had been one that watched the shows, and I kind of knew what they were doing, and I kind of explained it to him. A couple of the other guys explained it to him also. They're like, dude, just chill. It's the first day. And I told him, like, if you're not getting the camera time now, that means that they probably like you and you'll be getting it later. So you're going to probably last quite some time in this house. So obviously after the first day, he kind of figured it out because, you know, the producers and PAs, they pop out of bushes. They pop out of weird places in the house to pull you aside to do OTF, the wall, the curtain that you didn't even know was there.
Right. Bush.
And they probe you for certain things. So he kind of saw how it was going and he chilled out after that first day. He was my roommate on Megan Wants a Millionaire. And then we also roomed together in I Love Money 3. So he was cool. He was so much fun. Honestly, like out of all of the guys in that house, he would be the last one that I would ever expect to go on and do anything like that. A couple of the other ones, I'd be like, no surprise, but that was very shocking. That was very shocking with Ryan. Because if you do remember when we moved on to I Love Money, which I know we're going to talk about, he hated me on that show. I don't know the transition there. There was a very strange transition between Megan Wants a Millionaire and I Love Money. On Megan's show, like I said, coolest dude in the house to me, really, for as long as I was there. Didn't speak to him after filming, but we went right into filming I Love Money 3, maybe 2 months after Megan's show wrapped. So it was very different.
So wild.
So weird.
I think that tells a lot about his own psyche for sure. And so was there any guy there that was just like a total drama, trouble starter, like an asshole or just who caused like crazy drama?
Yes, Garth. Garth was the one that broke my piggy bank. He was the one that really came in at me. And he was on I Love Money season 4 also, where he was kind of the same character. And again, when you're doing these shows, was he a dick to me on camera? Absolutely. Off camera, was he a dick to me? No, not at all. Like, he was actually a really funny guy, but it was kind of, I'm sure the girls have the same experience with you. They're probably like, damn, she's really cool, but I don't want to do a TV show with her. She's going to be mean to me. So that's kind of how Garth was. Garth, when we were filming together, it was a nightmare, a fucking nightmare. But really, off camera, I mean, cool, cool dude.
Interesting. Okay.
And the other ones, honestly, the other ones that were on that show, I mean, there was Big Mike. I did the premiere in Fort Lauderdale with Big Mike, who was really cool. And Megan was there with Cecile, actually. The other guys on the show, no, they were kind of lame. They were kind of lame, to be honest with you. So again, I wanted to party. I wanted to have a good time. They cared a lot about their appearance and they didn't want to have so much fun, you know? So I remember the one dude, he was always reading a magazine or a book. Yes, they let him bring in a book or a magazine in the house and he laid in bed and just read that shit, ignored everybody. Everybody else was all, that wasn't my style. I'm not like that.
I mean, it makes sense. So if they're working at, you know, companies that they've had jobs at for a really long time, if they truly are millionaires or more, it kind of would make sense that their reputation is really at stake. So they probably have to be a little bit more careful than like all of us who were like in this whole rock and roll scene where that kind of partying was a little bit more accepted. So
exactly, because we did have a business center and we were allowed our cell phones too.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So
you had to stay locked up in the locker in the business center only. But if you needed your cell phone, you had the key and you could go in there and you could use your cell phone at any time.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really interesting.
Which is very rare for a reality show.
Very, very rare. Yeah, that's probably the only way they could get these guys to agree to that. So that's interesting. So did you spend a lot of time with Brandy C or did you get to talk to her very much or was she just there like kind of sparingly?
You know what? She's there very sparingly. She was there when we would do a challenge. She was there when we were prepping for the challenge. She was there to kind of give advice for the first few days. But again, their time was limited, Brandy and Cecile. And Brandy was super sweet. She was really fun. She was really cool. So, Cecile, she was also. But again, it was just so, there were like 17 of us and they were maybe in the house for 2 hours. And we didn't get to spend a lot of time. I spent more time probably with Megan than I did Brandy C or Cecile.
That makes sense. And so Cecile was on a show with Megan, Beauty and the Geek, a long time ago. Yes. Is that right?
And they became like best friends, I guess, for Beauty and the Geek.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So that's kind of confusing for me too, because I'm like, oh, Brandy, I know Brandy. She was on I Love Money. She was on Charm School. Love her. I was like, wait, Cecile, because I didn't watch Beauty and the Geek.
Yeah. So that was way before all of these shows. So what was your impression of Megan? Because obviously you had your impression of her watching her when she was on Charm School and Rock of Love. How did you feel about her when you actually were in her company, you know, that your one-on-one time with her? Did you like her? Did you get along with her?
Yeah, cool. She was really cool. I would love to be her friend. I'd love to hang out with her. Obviously, like I said, I wouldn't want to date her, but I'd love to hang out with her. And she was fun. She was a good time. And she was very professional. You know, she had a show to do and she kind of took the bulls by the horn and she ran with whatever it was that producers told her to do. She was also doing a lot of promo gigs also at that time. So there were times in the house where there was a lot of downtime because she would be doing some promotional thing on the outside and then come back and then we'd do a challenge real quick and then she had to head right back out. So her time also was quite limited in the house, which was kind of funny. I expected her to be there a little bit more, but I know you said that Brett didn't even stay in the house. She really did stay in the house. She did spend the night there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So one thing, and just so everybody knows, you and I talked on the phone yesterday and kind of went over some of the stuff that we were going to talk about. And when we were on the phone, you had brought something up to me that I was like, I feel like the viewers should know this. So the on Talk of Love, on this podcast, I believe it was the second or maybe third episode of, I think it was episode two, I had Heather on from Rock of Love. And she had made some statements that I was questioning the validity of these statements that she made. Basically, rumors of how Megan got that show, that Heather was saying that she was like slept with a producer or something like that. And again, this was not anything that had ever been confirmed. And there was a few other things that Heather said about Megan as well and that show. And so when I was talking to you yesterday, you told me that you had some insight into that.
Yes, I have a little bit of insight on that. You know, I heard that and I was just sitting there and I was like, what? No, Megan didn't sleep with a producer to get that show. You know, it was actually from Charm School. When she was on Charm School, she said she wanted to be a trophy wife and they thought it was a brilliant idea. So the working title for the show was not Megan Wants a Millionaire. It was actually Trophy Wife. Now, Heather also did make a comment that after the show was done airing, she took all of the millionaires for all of their money and made them do all sorts of things and buy her stuff and use and abuse them.
Yeah, she was saying that that Megan really took advantage of these guys that were on her show and really treated them badly and took their money, as you said. Yeah, so you have some insight into that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that again, I don't even know where she got that information from. I mean, if she watched the show, she would see that, yes, when we went on dates for the show, we would upgrade the dates or we would maybe buy her something. That's what we were supposed to do. After the show ended filming and then it aired, I mean, it only aired three episodes and then it got canceled because of the Ryan Jenkins thing. Megan, she didn't even talk to anybody really after that. She went into hiding. So I talked to some of the guys after the show, obviously, when all of that was happening. We're like, dude, this is crazy. But no, none of that. None of what Heather said about her taking the guys for their money or taking advantage of anybody. Hell no, she was so mortified and I felt so bad for her. She literally did go into hiding a lot. I guarantee you, none of the other dudes, maybe Ryan for a little bit leading up to that, she said she spoke to here and there. But no, none of that's true. That was kind of gross to hear, actually. I did not like to hear that from Heather.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, from what I know of Megan, I had never heard that from anybody else before. I hadn't heard that from any of the guys. And you're right, she did go into hiding because she was so distraught over what had happened with the Ryan situation. So yeah, I'm glad to clear the air because, you know, it's one thing for Megan to say it about herself, but it's another thing for somebody who was actually there. And Heather wasn't there. Were there. And so, and you know, other people that I've talked to, they're like, yeah, Megan, just corroborating exactly what you said. And so, I'm glad we got to clear the air on that because Megan's a good person and she doesn't deserve to have.
She's cool. She's cool. And guess what? She played a great role. She played a great role. She's iconic with those shows. Just like you, Lace, you guys played a badass part on those shows. You did your job. You did it better than everybody else. And that's why you're so memorable.
Oh,
so,
well, thank you.
The haters gonna hate, right? Step on that haterade.
Oh, well,
don't
I appreciate
hate us, right?
What? Say that again.
So don't hate us because you ain't us.
Don't hate us because you ain't us. Exactly. So now let's get into, is there anything else about Megan Wants a Millionaire? Did I cover everything?
I think you covered everything pretty good. I mean, to be honest, I always say it. I'm like, people probably have no idea who I am because that show is so short lived. And then obviously I Love Money season three didn't air. So people are probably like, who is this dude?
Well, yeah, that really sucks that the two shows that you were on, which should have been massive, that, you know, both of them got just destroyed because of the situation. But I do think that Megan Wants a Millionaire, the first three episodes that you're talking about, I believe that those are up on Megan's YouTube channel, I think. Do you know if somebody wants to watch those, where they could see them?
Yes, on YouTube. If you go to Megan's YouTube page, she has the first episode. I think 2 and 3 got taken down, but you could find those on Google. You could just Google that and find those. But she actually put up episode 4 and 5, which never even hit airwaves. Those never even aired on TV.
Wow.
So if you go to her YouTube page, you could watch episode 4 and 5, which nobody ever saw. So that's really
so
cool.
Wild.
I was excited to see that. I was already gone for episode 4 and 5. It was great to see what happened after I left.
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
And finally, if anybody remembers anything from that show, there was one dude who was really cool also, and his name was Alex, and they called him Alaconda. In episode 4, if you watch it on Megan's YouTube, you can see why they call him the Anaconda and why he got eliminated.
Wow. Okay. I can only imagine. My brain's going all kinds of places. So how much time was it?
Probably going to the right place.
Right. But of course, my brain's always going that place. So so how much time between the when you got eliminated from Megan Wants a Millionaire to the time that you started filming I Love Money 3, how much time was that?
I want to say it was like 2 months, because it, or maybe three. It was 2 or 3 months because it was March. It was like mid-March that Megan's show I got eliminated off of. And then it's funny because I actually remember the date that we flew out to Manzanillo, Mexico to do I Love Money 3.
Oh.
It was June 25th, 2009, because it was the same day Michael Jackson died.
Damn, that's crazy. Wow, you're right.
Yes.
That is
yes.
insane. Wow. Yeah, that's nuts. So how did you, when did you rather find out that the producers wanted you on I Love Money 3? Did they ask you right away?
When I was leaving the house, you know, you get eliminated and they already have your stuff and they wait for you. You go out to the front, they take you to the hotel. Well, when I was walking out, there was a production assistant, maybe a producer. Again, I was so drunk the whole time on those shows. I don't remember who it was, but I came out and they're like, hey, they're like, you know, that was great. And we're sorry to see you go so early, but would you be interested in doing another show? And I was like, yeah, I totally do another show. This is so much fun. And they're like, oh, really? You had a good time? I'm like, yeah. So they did. They called me almost instantly to start talking about I Love Money 4. I was supposed to be on I Love Money 4. And then they called me and said, hey, would you be willing to do I Love Money 3 instead? Which I think what there was like in two, not even. It was like right after we were done filming I Love Money 3, they went into I Love Money 4. So there was a couple week difference. So I did. I switched on to I Love Money 3.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
That was a last minute switch. I was supposed to do 4.
Oh, my God. That is so nuts. So, okay. So, let's get into that now. So, I'm really glad that you're here because, and I'm actually going to have a couple of other people from I Love Money 3 on as my guests very, very soon. But for right now, I'm glad that you're here because it was so long ago. I mean, it was 2009. So 11 years ago is when that show filmed. And obviously you and I, we didn't get to watch it back because it didn't exist. And exactly. It never got edited together. And also, like, for me personally, the Ryan Jenkins situation completely dominated my mental, you know, state. And so I feel like the memories from filming kind of got stepped on by because of the trauma with the Ryan thing. So it's hard. I like, there's a lot of things I do remember, but then there's a lot that I don't. So I'm really glad that you're here. And because I know that you and I
remember a lot.
That's awesome. Good. I'm glad you're here. So, because I know that you and I got along like pretty much instantly, right?
We did. I remember, I mean, we actually talked before we moved into the house because I saw you at the airport. I believe I flew in from Chicago and we went to like Texas. And then from Texas, we went to Manzanillo on the little plane. Well, the minute that I got off the plane and I was walking to where we were flying to Mexico and I saw the red hair, I was like, oh shit, Lacey's on this one. And I was like, oh, there's going to be some trouble. But then we started talking because nobody was talking to you at the airport. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Everyone was terrified.
Everybody was
scared
of me.
So I came up here and I was like, hi, I'm Joe. No one knows me because my show hasn't even aired yet, but I'm going to do I Love Money. So we talked for a little bit and then we flew out. And yeah, when we moved into the house, It was instant. Even though I will give a little foreshadowing for what we'll talk about later, I'm sure you did help play the demise in my elimination.
Oh, no. Okay, so we got to get into that. So were you and I, which team were you on? Were you on the green team or the gold team?
Green team. I was on the green team.
So you're on the team with, okay, so that was my team as well. So I know that pretty much early on, I was just like, holy shit. As you said, like people weren't talking to me at the airport. And I was like, and I could tell people were like, holy shit, that's Lacey. And I'm thinking if other people are in charge of me being sent home, I'm going to be sent home on day one unless I come up with a plan. And so that's when I was like, at some point, I don't think it was right away, but I think a couple of episodes in is when I started deciding I was going to throw all the challenges for the green team. And I made a deal with the gold team that if I throw my team's challenges, making it so the gold team doesn't ever have to go on the chopping block, they would agree to not send me home, which actually worked really, really well. And so yes. I'm trying to remember, did I talk to you about that plan or how soon did that become apparent?
You know, to me, I knew when, and no, you never actually told me, because me and you, we talked, but we drank a lot. We were party animals at the end of the night. So yeah. It was like throughout the day, we'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? It wasn't until everything calmed down. That's when we would like kind of congregate and we would start drinking. And that's when we would chill. But wait, what was the question? I'm so sorry. I totally
I was just wondering how soon did you figure out the game plan as far as like the...
Because
I
know the challenges.
Our team captain was Big Rig, right?
Yes.
And then the gold team, the team captain was Weasel. And so correct. I remember at first I really did want to win, but then I was like, I really got to protect myself in case we don't win. And that's when I was like, let's just start throwing challenges. But I'm wondering, I know some of the people on our team, on the green team, were pretty pissed off at me, Big Rig being one of them, because they could see that what I was doing in throwing the challenges. And so I'm just trying to remember.
I remember when that came out. I remember when I at least first noticed that that's what you were doing. It was the challenge where there was that beam that was hanging over the mountain with the teeter totter. And you would have been the one that was blindfolded and you would have to go across that, grab that, I don't know, the other stick or baton or whatever at the end, then like turn around and go back again through that teeter totter thing while you're blindfolded on a beam that's literally this thick, hanging over a mountain, and you're listening to somebody else's direction. Well, here's the thing, because you actually wanted to sit out on that challenge, if I'm right. You wanted to sit out. I was so fucking hungover from the night before because of the wild jacuzzi night that I was like, no, I'm not hanging over a fucking beam. I'm going to lose it. And you're like, that's fine. I'll go ahead and I'll do it. And I was like, okay, well, it's Lacey. She's not going to be scared to do this. As soon as you went up there, and it's like you had 5 minutes to do it. You didn't even get to the teeter-totter in the first 5 minutes. And that's when everybody was like, she's throwing the fucking challenge. That's when everybody kind of at least said it. And I knew, I was like, yeah, that's totally what she's doing. But I didn't care. I was so hungover.
I will say though, I actually was genuinely scared too, because this platform wasn't like, it was some insane, like 100 feet above the ocean or 200 feet or something. It was way up there. And we had harnesses on, so we were strapped to it. And so I was thinking like, well, I'll be blind, because I am actually legitimately scared of heights and I'm not afraid of much, but heights I'm totally not down with. And I remember I'll be blindfolded and you're like crawling across this platform that goes out above the ocean. So I'm like, but I'll be blindfolded, so I won't see how far down everything is. It was like rocks and the ocean and everything. But what I didn't anticipate is that when I got to the ledge where I had to start crawling out on the platform that was dangling over the mountainside, my ear was picking up on the fact that like, oh, there's no ground beneath me. The ground is really far away right now. So it was fucking scary.
Your other senses kicked in.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to take my time, you know? And, but I do want to talk about, before I forget, you mentioned the jacuzzi night, because that was amazing. That was like the first time very early in where everybody was really bonded and got to know each other, and we had a wild, crazy party. And so will you describe that? Because that was just absolutely amazing and so much fun.
So that night, I mean, everybody had their own bottle of wine. Like, it wasn't like we were all like, oh, would you like a glass? No, we all had our own bottle of wine. We had bottles of vodka, tequila, everything around this jacuzzi. We were in there for probably 5 hours that night, just straight drinking. And then somebody got the brilliant idea to play Never Have I Ever, which was then followed up by Truth or Dare.
Truth or Dare.
And Truth or Dare. That was some X-rated stuff that went on in that jacuzzi for real deal.
Yeah. So I will interject, because I think you were one of the primary instigators of the debauchery of that jacuzzi, which is why I was like, I love this guy. Like, I need to be friends with him.
Come on.
Yeah. But I think the Truth or Dare was like, it was pretty much just all like everybody was choosing dare. And so I remember, I think that I was dared to motorboat Delicious, I believe, and I think you did at one point too. Mm-hmm. And then I had Fox motorboated me, and it was like, that's, but everybody was just like not really going down on each other, but like pretend going down on each other and like just feeling each other up. Like it was just insanity, I remember. And everybody was like,
Big Rig was doing a striptease on the outside of the jacuzzi, and then Wolf got dared to run naked around the house. But then as soon as he did that, he howled like a wolf. And our one PA came running out and was like, "You guys need to stop. Calm it down. Calm it down." And then Bubbles, you remember poor Bubbles.
I love Bubbles.
She was obviously drunk. I loved my Bubbles. I don't know what happened to her. I haven't talked to her in forever, but they actually pulled her away because she was pretending to be a dolphin going from the jacuzzi into the pool. And then they had to take her up. We were all like eventually carried away out of that night.
I'm really surprised that the producers actually was like, were putting a halt to that. But it was...
Well, the next day, do you remember? Because we were on the same team and we were in the elimination vault together deciding who was going to be up for elimination that night, which it was actually then me, you, and Delicious. But the producers, before we started all of that, they actually came in, Mark and Chris, and then CJ, and I believe Lisa Lopez, they all came in and they were like, "Hey, you guys, I just have to, we have this moment right now to do this. And last night was great. You guys had a lot of fun. You made some great TV. Unfortunately, we probably won't be able to show 95% of it." Keep in mind, this is a family viewing network. It's TV-14, and that was X-rated pornographic. And I'm glad you guys had fun, but there will be no more of that. And they literally shut us down.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I don't remember that at all.
Yes.
That's really crazy. Because I do remember, were you still there at one? There was another point during this show where the producers came out. And it was the same thing. It was like Chris Abrego. It was Mark Cronin. I think, as you said, Lisa Lopez and like the whole crew. And they were basically
saying... Was that when they took the alcohol away?
No. On this one, they were basically singing our praises, going like, "Hey, just so you guys know, this is by far going to be the best I Love Money season out of all of them. Like, you guys are amazing. You're so funny. You're so entertaining. Keep it up. We're so excited for this." Like, I remember that. And it just like, that's so cool because that never happened. But the jacuzzi.
Everybody was saying that the whole time, whole season, even the production assistants that usually don't get too involved, they're like, "You guys are all doing so great." They'll usually pull you over and be like, "You're doing great, but you should really do this." No, that was the show that they were like, "You guys are all doing fantastic. Just run. Do what you do. Keep doing what you're doing."
Well, it was cool because the jacuzzi night, I felt like it was such a great way for everybody just to like to get to know each other and to bond, and to everybody's guard went down. As well as their tops and bottoms. and that was perfect.
I like that.
Because that's what needed to happen. Because a lot of, you know, some of us knew each other, but most of us didn't. You know, we might have seen each other on TV, but it was a really good bonding moment. Everybody, what was cool about that moment is I felt that genuinely everybody felt safe. Like it was cool. Yes. Like there was, it wasn't like a rapey vibe or any weirdness like that. Like the dudes were super respectful. Everything was like, you know, consensual, but everybody was having fun. There was no like peer pressure or shyness. Everybody was just like letting it all hang out, letting it all loose, you know? It was so
exactly.
Cool.
Everybody just let it all hang out that day. And I think everybody also knew too that being on TV, there would be blurs and there would be black lines. So
yeah, absolutely.
Whatever was shown wouldn't really be shown until now. If you go on Tubi, it's all unedited. There's like, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's right.
So the girls that thought that they were going to get blurred are not blurred anymore.
Right,
if you go to
TV. Surprise match. Yeah. So one thing I was going to ask you also is, so I remember kind of early on, I personally was all about strategizing and Bucky Shay was one of the first ones to come up to me. And actually she came up to me before we even stepped foot in the house. We were all at the hotel and Bucky Shay from Flavor of Love came up to me. And I remember she grabbed my arm and she's like, "Lacey, you and I, we're like this, okay? We're like, we got each other's backs, okay?" And I was like, awesome. Like, because I loved her on Flavor of Love anyway. So that's
she was
when my-
dope. I loved Bucky.
She was so great. So much fun. So sweet. So I was really thinking early on about strategizing. And I remember one area where I was frustrated, I really liked Sinister because also Sinister and I were running in the same circles, not in reality TV, but in the rock and roll world. And so I was like, "Hey, like you and I have toured, you know, with the same bands, like let's do an alliance." He was kind of unsure and he was like trying to play it safe. I remember Chelsea Lil Hood, our friend, she was wanting to like play it safe too. And I felt like you were kind of there too. I'm like, "No, we got to had like form alliances and stuff." And I feel like that was kind of the downfall of Chelsea Lil Hood and of Sinister and possibly you as well.
Me, yeah. For sure. I mean, the thing is like, again, what was so difficult for me on I Love Money 3, again, that was like the best time ever though. I mean, there was not anything really that bad with I Love Money 3 because it was so much fun. But the disadvantage that I had was that my show hadn't aired yet. So, I mean, for the love of Ray J had been on, like, it's already on season 2. Rock of Love is on Rock of Love Bus. Daisy of Love was airing, like, for while that was happening, while we were filming. Megan Wants a Millionaire probably wasn't even edited yet. So everybody just knew Joe and Ryan from Megan Wants a Millionaire. Why the fuck is a millionaire in the house competing for $250,000? You know what I mean? So Ryan, like I said this in that other video, like he was just way better at playing the game. You know what I mean? He had his strategy down. He took it. He ran. Then there was me. I'm just like, I like people. I don't know. I don't have a strategy. I'll play with you. I'll play with you. And didn't work for me.
I'm bummed about that now. So walk me through what happened. You said I had kind of a hand in your elimination.
It was awesome. Place. Okay, so this one, I think when I tell you, you're totally going to remember.
Okay.
Now, it was unintentional. I'll say that. It was totally unintentional. We didn't even know that Ryan was going to be paymaster the next day because the next day was the challenge. But if you remember, Ryan gave me so much shit in that house. He was really mean to me all the time, constantly talking about, oh, you're drinking, you're just hiding something from the world and that's why you're drinking. Fuck you, dude. Like, he would pick on me, oh, why are you wearing that? That looks hideous. Like, you should know better. Your fashion choices are terrible. Wow. And they were. It was Ed Hardy. It was 2009. It was terrible fashion. He was absolutely right. But at he that was time, wearing, it was like, and I thought I was cool.
I gotta interject because I remember one of the first signs where I was like, my douchebag alert went off. My douchebag alarm was he was wearing Louis Vuitton flip-flops. And I'm like, really, dude? Louis Vuitton flip-flops. Yeah. Like, that is just so ridiculous. Yeah. So I remember just being like, okay, well, this is a douchebag that we're dealing with. But he is really not one to be like giving you shit for that. So what was the challenge? And obviously we lost. Was that the one that you're talking about with the platform hanging over the mountainside?
Yes, okay. Yes. So that was what happened the next day, but this was the night before. So that night, like me and Ryan had exchanged words and I believe everybody was there. It was in the kitchen. I was just tired of him talking shit. I was like, dude, I don't know why you're talking shit to me. We were super cool on Megan Wants a Millionaire. This is like the third time you've thrown shade my way and I'm fucking done with it. What's your deal? And he just looked at me because he was teamed up with Fox at the time and he just laughed at me and he went, okay, and just kind of brushed me off. And I was like, fuck that. So I walked out and then me and you actually congregated that night. And you're like, that was really not cool with what Ryan did. And you're like, good job standing up for yourself. But he's such a prick. He's downstairs right now. And we were drinking. We were both hammered. Me and you were both hammered. You're like, he's downstairs right now. And I happen to know something. And you told me that he was getting emails from Jasmine at the time. And they weren't the friendliest of emails.
Yeah, and phone
you're
calls.
Like, so you could go ahead and you should go let him know. And do you remember me and you went down there and I went to the room. It was my room because he was my roommate. And you're like, I'm going to be out here. And you waited on the side and you were peeking in. And I was like, hey, Ryan. I was like, you know what? I was like, fuck you. And then I kind of went off talking shit about what was happening with Jasmine and the emails. And he laid there and just looked at me, shook his head, did that. I was like, fuck it. And then I was so pissed. I stormed out. You were there. You were like, hey, you let him have it. They're like, he needed to hear it. Let's go drink more. We drank more. Well, then the next day was that challenge. He won. He was paymaster. It was me, you, and Delicious that were in the or up for elimination.
Oh.
And ultimately, he sent me home.
Oh, man.
But not without getting a glass of wine thrown in his face and a bunch of other shit to go down
right.
along
so,
with it. So.
Yeah, so walk us through that because that was a pretty dramatic elimination. I do remember that. So when he called your name to be sent home, I know you were pretty wasted in that moment. And you're a hilarious drunk, by the way. Like, that's kind of why I gravitated towards you. Because I'm like, this guy is... You just like...
Because I like to cause trouble too when I'm drunk. Like, and that's what sucked about Megan Wants a Millionaire. Nobody wanted to get drunk with me or have fun. So it was like there was no trouble to cause because everybody was just so far up their own ass. It was lame.
Well, also,
but that
you
was
have,
a good time.
You have no filter, which is why I was like, I fucking love this guy. But so once Ryan said, your check is voided, tell everybody but what happened.
I said, no, I was like, that's not going to happen. All drunk and probably slurring. And CJ looked at me like, what are you doing? And I said, no, he's not going to void my check. Absolutely not. I'm going to void my own check. He can't do it. And they had to stop production, if you remember. Do you remember? Because I was like, no, he's not going to. And they're like, okay. So then he got the okay. And he's like, all right, Joe. He's like, we're going to go ahead and let you void your own check. So I'm like, all right. So I'm like, give me. So I took the void. I made sure to get like all of the ink. So it was like super splotchy. And I said, I'm going to void my check. and I'm going to void you too, motherfucker. And I jumped over the table and tried voiding him in the chest. But he moved back and I kind of fell over the table and it didn't work, which pissed me off even more. Because then CJ's like, hey, both of you got us back. So we were like the good view of the camera. And I just had my wine and I was going to sip it. And he said something, I don't remember what it was, that he said to me at that moment when I was about to take a sip of my wine. I think he's like, yeah, if you stayed, you would just be like a little bitch anyway. He said something along those lines. And I was like, oh, really? Fuck you. Boom. And that's when the glass of wine just went flying. I just remember seeing it splash off his face. And it was just the perfect hit. It was the perfect hit. I couldn't have done it better. And then I think I just gave you guys a hug and yeah. I went
I remember
to a boat
it was like dripping down like his face and his hair and his shirt and everything. And he was just like standing there kind
of
like
a big ass glass of wine. The glass was like that. And I had that filled up to the top. There was a whole lot of wine that came out on that one. And just to show you, I have this with me.
That is so cool. It's your voided check. Oh my God.
And
how
if
did you, get
you
to, how
closer
did you,
look at it, you'll see the wine splatters all over it too.
That is amazing. How did you get to keep your voided check? I'm super jealous.
I was so drunk and I grabbed and I stormed off with it. I don't know. They weren't going to stop me. I was on a mission. I threw wine. I stopped production to void my own check. I grabbed the check and wandered away. They didn't stop me.
That is amazing. I do remember that line though. You're like, I'm going to void my own check. And I remember the moment you're like, and I'm going to void you too. I was like, that's brilliant. Yeah. What's about to happen? I could tell that's what you were trying to do, is like stamp him.
I wish I nailed him too. I wish I did. But you know, I missed that one, but the glass of wine, that was a good relief.
That was pretty good. I remember it was like a direct hit. Yeah, absolutely.
That one, I nailed it. I fucked up with the void, but hey, it's okay.
It was pretty awesome. So now let's get into, obviously you're being flown back to the United States. I made it all the way to the final six, and then I went back to the United States, and it was a pretty short period of time from the time that the show was done to the time we heard all this craziness about yeah. Ryan. So I've talked about it a few times on the podcast already, my perspective of everything. Tell me your perspective. When did you first hear that some crazy shit was going on involving Ryan? Did the producer call you like they called me?
Yes, actually, because if you remember, that was like late August, because Megan Wants a Millionaire was just airing. It was airing its third episode. Mm-hmm. So
yep.
At that time when I was just, because you know how it is, like when the show first starts airing, it's not like you, the first day or second day that it airs, you go out and people recognize you. It takes a minute. So it was kind of just happening for me, to be honest with you, by like the second, third week. Where I would go out and people are like, oh my God, you're Joe from Megan's show. Can I take a picture? So that all just started to kind of happen.
And that's kind of a mind fuck in of itself, right? Like that, for me, that was an adjustment for you as well.
Yes, it was a huge adjustment because it's like, again, I think you might've said this too. It's like, I adjusted pretty quick and I never got a big head over it. I was always very nice to the fans that wanted to take pictures. Who I actually felt bad for were my friends that I would be with because they kind of would get shoved to the side and I always felt bad about that. And I mean, a lot of my friends, they were good at dealing with that, but there were some of them that it offended them or it affected them in a not so great way. And I did feel bad for that. But
well, but you're doing the right thing.
That just started to happen.
By being nice to your fans, that's the right thing to do. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, thank you for the support. Yeah. Let's take a picture. How hard is that? I mean, right. I hate hearing bad stories and ruining somebody's day. That would be the worst thing ever. Yeah. But, it was just so short after that. I was just getting acclimated to people noticing me from Megan Wants a Millionaire. And then all of a sudden, it was just this drastic change where, yes, that phone call came from one of the producers letting me know, hey, this is what's going on. Nobody knows where he is. Please don't answer questions because the magazines and news stations will be contacting you. I was like, all right. So I went to my friend Steve's house, actually. And I was like, dude, I was like, I'm not close to my house. Can I please use your computer? Because at that time, cell phones were okay with the internet. But if you're in like a car driving around, you can't get to Google. So I actually went to my friend's house that I was close to, use their computer to go to TMZ.com to read the story. And I was just like, oh my God. After that, no more. Oh, you're Joe from Megan's show. Oh my God, you're on that show with the murderer.
Oh my God.
Can I ask you questions about him? What did he do? What was he like? And then they don't understand too. They think that you were just with that person like yesterday because they just watched that episode yesterday not knowing it was 6 months ago. So I mean then that got crazy. And I understand, especially for Megan being her show, I understand why she hid for 10 years, because I mean for a good 5 months for me, and I know a lot of the other guys that were on Megan Wants a Millionaire, it was it wasn't fun because you weren't getting pictures and people weren't asking you about the show. They were asking you about the murder.
Right.
And they thought you were somehow involved. And it's just like, no.
Yeah.
There's time stamped. You watched me get eliminated on Monday or Tuesday, but that happened 6 months ago. Ryan, I believe it was like a Tuesday or Wednesday that he killed Jasmine. So you were just with him yesterday. He's still in the house. How did he do that? How did that happen? And I mean, that goes into a whole different explanation because now you have to kind of blow the cover of reality TV and what they keep the viewers thinking. So it was just a mind fuck. It was crazy.
It was really, it was traumatic, I think, for everybody involved, because for me, I remember from the time that I got the first phone call from the producers, I remember she told me that she basically just said, like, hey, if some press contacts you, then just like don't answer any questions having to do with Ryan. She didn't give me any more details. And I'm like, hang on, what are you talking about? And she was like, oh, well, he was accused of something. We don't think he did it, but you know, just don't answer any questions. I'm like, what was he accused of? And then she told me, like, oh, well, there's speculation that he murdered his wife, but like there's no definitive proof of that. And just, you know, I was like, whoa, because I had actually just seen Ryan maybe like a week and a half earlier in Mexico, and he actually reached out to me after he came home. So I had actually been talking to him on the phone a little bit, and it was just, so from the time that I got that first call from the producer, it was about a week until it was discovered. Not only had he murdered her, but then he had killed himself. I remember like going onto my computer. I think I had a Yahoo address at the time. And I remember going on to Yahoo and it was like the top story of Yahoo. And I was like, and because he hadn't been found yet. So it was like international, not national.
It was international manhunt for 2 weeks, I believe.
He's from Canada. It was fucking crazy. It was upsetting to say the least. It was traumatic.
It was definitely upsetting. And you know, a lot of the guys from Megan's show were very upset. And I know Megan was upset. I mean, I was upset. I mean, all of us from I Love Money were upset. And what I think that people need to understand is that we are all pretty much on board and agreed with, yes, at that time, for sure, those shows should have been pulled. Those shows, I think what they did, canceling the shows for that time, was the right thing to do 100% for the fact of Ryan's family and Jasmine's family. I mean, I think it was a great decision, and it showed that VH1 actually had a little bit of class to pull those shows and not continue to air them. I do feel that now, fast forward 10, 11 years later, for my own selfish reasons, it sucks that they never edited it and at least let us see what we did. You know what I mean?
Oh,
because
yeah.
I would have at least liked to have a viewing with the cast to see our show. That would have been great.
Yeah, totally. I think my understanding is that it wasn't even fully edited together. So I think it was just probably a ton of raw footage of us just like, you know, sitting out by the pool or like, you know, whatever, drinking or maybe challenges, but just like not in context and not put together in a cohesive way. So I don't even think a lot of people go like, why can't they just put it out? And my answer is it didn't get edited. So it's who's going to do it? You know, it's like, I don't even know that the original editors that were there that would understand the story as it happened in real time, those editors might not even be working with that network or production company. So who would even do that? Who would even edit it? You know? So
that's it. I mean, you think about it too, because the way that they do it, there's so many camera crews too. You have so many different cameras and then we're hooked up to the microphone. So our sound is recorded separately than the video.
Great point.
Then you'd have to go ahead and put those all together and find Joe's voice, match it with what's happening there, match Lacey's voice with what's happening there, match Little Hood's voice with what's happening there. So it would be a total nightmare to do that. And I don't think that anybody will ever see I Love Money 3, unfortunately. I don't think it'll ever happen.
I know. I think that you're right, sadly. But it was, you know, at least it exists in our memories or kind of anyway.
It does.
Yeah. It was still, as insane as that experience was, I personally am grateful that I was a part of it anyway, because I got to meet great people. I got to meet you. I got to meet and become friends with like Lil Hood, Chelsea, Delicious, Shay, AKA Bucky. Like there's so many great, great people on that. And it was such a fun, definitely by far more fun for me than, than Charm School and Rock of Love. And I would imagine what you just said, way more fun for you than Megan Wants a Millionaire.
Way more fun than Megan Wants a Millionaire. You know, I was there to date a girl that I thought was amazing, but I didn't want to date a girl. And then none of the guys did it for me in that house either. So, I mean, what the fuck? I think I got the shit under the stick with that one, let me tell you.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. So, well, Joe, it's so good to catch up with you. So what have you been doing since the show? And if you were offered another reality show, hypothetically, would you do it again?
I would probably do it again, honestly. I mean, it would be fun. I know it's so different nowadays as far as reality TV goes. So it would definitely have to be the correct fit. Like a competition, like I Love Money 3, I would totally do. I would never do another dating show. And I mean, in the future, maybe I'll be a real housewife of somewhere. You never know. That would be fun. No, actually what I've been doing is I worked for a company in Las Vegas over by you. And it's in the adult industry. It's a lubricant company. So what I do is I'm the brand ambassador. I'm the face. I travel around the country and I educate people on the product. Oh. I promote sexual health and wellness. I go to the AVN Awards every year. The products are always nominated and sometimes we do win. There's the X-Biz. So I'm always doing the conventions and just being the brand ambassador of lube or... Never know what comes next. Now that the pandemic hit, I'm not traveling too much. So what my next adventure may be, who knows? It may be dildos.
That is hilarious and awesome at the same time. I absolutely love that. Do you still get recognized? I know that Megan Wants a Millionaire was only out for like a short period, but do you ever run into people anymore that ask you about those shows?
Funny enough, no. I mean, it was, again, I don't even think people have any idea who I am, but I will say when I was doing, what was this? It was like a year and a half ago. It was called IML. It's the International Men's Leather Show in Chicago. So you do need lube when you're at a gay event like that. And I mean, it's good for leather too. It shines it up. So when I was there, a couple people were like, you look so familiar. Were you on TV? I'm like, oh God, like a decade ago. And they did actually remember Megan Wants a Millionaire. So I think my gay community might remember me a little bit. The ones that watched that show, at least for the short period of time it was on. So I felt the love there, but that was the last time. Nobody really brings it up.
Okay. Do you ever come? I know Megan was like kind of not on Instagram for a really long time. And then only more recently, earlier this year, she got on Instagram. But do you ever go back and forth with her on social media or have you not seen her?
We like each other's things on Facebook for sure. And then on Instagram, we'll like each other's stuff also. When she joined, of course, I gave her a nice shout out saying, hey, Megan, glad to see that she joined. And I mean, what she's doing with her YouTube by posting some of that stuff, really cool. So yeah, of course, I love Megan. She's amazing. We haven't really talked in probably since after the show, the premiere, but...
But you kept up through social media. That's good. And also, I want to give a shout out to... I know we keep talking about Lil Hood from Ray J. We know her as Chelsea, but I want to give Hi, Chelsea. I want to give her a shout out because she did kind of... She put together a cool video on YouTube that you were a part of. And I think she also had a recorded phone call with Big Rig and Weasel.
Weasel.
Where you guys did kind of a tell-all about I Love Money 3. And so that's on YouTube. So can you tell people how to find that?
No, actually, I don't know.
I think if you just Google I Love Money 3, I think it's one of the ones
that... It's I Love Money 3 Reveal. So if you type in I Love Money 3 Reveal in YouTube, it will come up. I believe that is the name. It's all this guy's fault right here that I can't remember it.
I actually think that you're correct. I think it is I Love Money 3 Reveal. But she put together a cool little like 30-minute video. And she spilled a lot of tea. But also, she really got more into like the specific challenges, like what kind of challenges we had and described those. And as I said, she interviewed you, Big Rig, Weasel, and you guys really gave a lot of awesome information to the fans about I Love Money 3. So for those of you who are watching this, definitely go check that video out on YouTube that Chelsea, a.k.a. Lil Hood, put together. And you can see my man, Joe, on there as well. Yeah. So where
thank
can
you,
find
Lace.
You?
And yes, Chelsea did such a good job with that video. So I do have to throw that one out there too. She killed it.
She did. Where can we find you on Instagram, on social media? If people want to look you up and connect with you.
I am the lamest bitch ever. I am. I'm such a lame bitch when it comes to social media. I suck big hairy balls for real. but it's JoeyP607 would be my Instagram. And my Facebook, I'm under Joseph Pascola. I don't go by Joseph ever. I actually did that when I signed up because if you see the date that I signed up, it was 2009. And I was on MySpace. I don't know why the hell I went under Joseph. I think it was because I was trying to be humble and I didn't want anybody to find me when the show aired for Joe Pascola, because you could only have 5,000 friends on Facebook. And I think back then it was probably even less, like 3. So I didn't want it to get all jacked up. But I don't use social media. I use Instagram more than anything. So Instagram JoeyP607 if you want to follow me. And I will try to post some things.
Things would be great. You heard it first. Joe and his things will be posted. I will put that in the description of the YouTube in case anybody missed that. Go to the description and I will have Joe and his things, social media accounts on there for you. So yeah, Joe, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast. You're so much fun. I've always had a blast with you. I just love who you are. And I just am grateful that you came onto the podcast. It's nice to like reconnect with you in real life too.
And it feels like I just saw you like yesterday. It doesn't feel as long as it really has been. So, I mean, I'm going to be out in Vegas very soon. So we do need to go out. I would love to catch up. And I mean, thank you so much for having me on this show. That means so much to me, because I don't think the Megan Once a Millionaire story ever really made it anywhere. So for you to give me the opportunity to come on your podcast first before anybody else from that show, I mean, outside of Megan, I mean, thank you. Thank you. That You're is so welcome. Sweet of you. And I hope your viewers enjoy it. I really do.
I'm sure they will. Joe, you're the best. Love you, my friend. And I will talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Lace. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers. That was so much fun. I'm so grateful to Joe for coming on to the podcast. I love him. So if you guys, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I'm wearing my fancy Don't Threaten Me With a Good Time Talk of Love shirt. And if you want a shirt like this too, or I have all kinds of other Talk of Love shirt designs, just go to my website, talkoflove.net, and click on shop. And from there, you can get a shirt. You can also sign up to be a contributor where we have all kinds of rewards. You can sign up to get monthly Skype chats with me. You can sign up to get reaction videos for Rock of Love, for Charm School. There's all kinds of stuff on the website. So definitely go check out talkoflove.net. I also want to say thank you so much to one of my main contributors, Zena. You are amazing. Love you, girl. And Zena is an advocate for a really great organization, which I really want you guys to check out. It's woundedwarriors.org. Go check that out. They are a great resource for our veterans and making sure that they're taken care of. So Zena is an advocate of that organization. So definitely go check it out. Thank you, Zena. Thank you all of my other contributors for making this podcast happen. I love you guys so much. And I will see you guys next Monday. Keep it peaceful. Be safe, take care of each other, and don't threaten me with a good time. Bye, guys.